Begin the current daven sentence by the Zohar daf Yud Gimel. Begin 3 lines down at the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues with discussion of the previous daf, where we had a machlikis Rabbi Yochanan Mishlokesh how to qualify the previous Mishnah's halacha. Mishnah said, regarding a city that it's their holiday, their pagan holiday, depends what type of store one is purchasing an item from. If it's a store that's adorned, which is a sign that this is designated for the idol, then it's forbidden. If it's not, then it's permitted. Where Rish Lakish defined that it's only if it's adorned with roses and myrtles, things which have a good aroma, then one is going to be benefiting from the takruvus akum, which these roses were used by the idol, one is having benefit is forbidden. But to go ahead and if they're adorned with, let's say, produce, which one doesn't get the aroma, it's just the taxes are going to go to the idol, that's not a problem. One could be mahana, one could benefit the idol, one just cannot benefit from the idol. Rabbi Yechon disagreed. He says, no, kavuchaymer, if one cannot have benefit from the idol, for sure he cannot benefit the idol itself, and therefore, even if it's adorned with produce, if it's obvious that this store is what's going to be collected taxes to go to the idol, it's forbidden to purchase from such a store. That's why our Gemara continues and says, Meisve, the Gemara asks under Rish Lakish's interpretation, who he holds, that there's no prohibition, there's no violation of benefiting the idol, just one cannot benefit from the idol, from the following brisa. Rav Nasan Naimi, he says, Yom Shavoydis Kechavim, there's a day in that in honor of the idol, Manachas Boy Esamachas, they hold off from the tax. They don't charge any taxes that day in honor and celebration of the idol. Machrizim Vayimim, but the idol worshippers would announce and they would say that it depends. Kol Mishanayt La Tara, whoever takes a crown, V'inich Bereishoy U'Bereish Chamare, they puts it on his head and the head of his donkey, L'chvayt Avoydis Kechavim, in honor of the idol, then yenich lo yisamechis, then he doesn't have to pay for the taxes. Vimla, but if not, al yenich lo yisamechis, he's not going to get taken off from the taxes. So, says Rav Nasan, Yehudi shenimtzis sham, mayasa, a Jew that's there on that day, what should he do? Yeniach, if he puts the wreath, the crown on his head, nimtzinena, turns out he's benefiting from the avodah zarah, which is forbidden. And lo yenich, if he doesn't put it on his head, nimtzimahana, it turns out he's benefiting the idol because now he's not going to get off the taxes. He's going to be paying the taxes, which goes to the idol. So it's, let's call between the rock and the hard place. Mikan Omru says, Rav Nasan, from here they said that you're right. One cannot go ahead and buy stuff from them on the day of that holiday. Where Hanaisiv and Nasan Beshuk Shalbaiz Kacham, whoever does business dealings on the sale, the marketplace of the day of the holiday of the idol, if he buys behema, an animal, tiyakr, he has to uproot it, as we're going to explain shortly what he has to do to it. In other words, he can't have any benefit from it because either way, he's doing something wrong and one cannot have benefit, as we said in the pasuk from the previous daf, of liyid bagviyot chamu'um min acherim, which, as we'll see shortly, what Rabbi Yochanan wants to prove from this brayis is one cannot benefit from the idol or neither give benefit to the idol. So if one has a business dealing with an animal, he has to uproot it, he has to rip off and make the animal unusable. Paris, if he purchases produce, ksus, vekelim, or garments, or utensils, yirkav, he has to let it rot. Mois, veklimatris, if he got money or metal utensils, yilichim liam melch, he has to throw it into the Dead Sea. In other words, he can't have any benefit from these items, because by hook or by crook, you're doing something wrong that has to do with idol worship, which is asabana. Says Reb Nosson, ve'ezu ikur, what's considered ikur when you have to uproot the animal? It means, ha'menashe parsisel menar kuvulamatim, it's someone that rips off the animal's leg from the hock, which is a part of the foot between the knee and the ankle, and downward, but in contrast, where, as we told you in previous daf, doing ikur that's going to make it into a trefa, which is higher than, let's say, the knee, would be forbidden to do it actively with the animal, even though it's anyways forbidden b'hanah, but one's not allowed to make the animal actively into a trefa. Now, says the Gemara, Ketani Mias, but one thing we see from this price is, it says that the reason why it's, this animal's prohibited, whether you paid the taxes or you didn't, whether you put on the wreath, the crown or not, is because yiniach, it's a, if you put on the crown, nimtzinena, you're benefiting from the avodah zarah. Lo yiniach, if you don't put it on, nimtzimahana, you're benefiting the avodah zarah. What's that? Because you're going to be paying the taxes. So we see, like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Rish Lakish said, it's forbidden to be mahana, the avodah zarah. Because if not, so go ahead, just don't put on the crown. You're not having benefit from the avodah zarah. And you'll be mahana. What's the problem? Obviously, see, not like Rish Lakish, who said that mahana is not a problem. On that, I remember Mashar Shabarita of Edi says, no, Ksav Reb Shimon Levi, Reb Shimon Lakish, Rish Lakish held that Peligi Rabban alleged Reb Nosson. Yeah, that price is not like what Rish Lakish was saying, because that's Reb Nosson. But he holds that Rabban disagreed with Reb Nosson. And I'm like the Rabban who disagree with Reb Nosson, and that's how he qualifies the halacha of our Mishnah, that there's no problem of being Mahana. It's only a problem of being Nana. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan says, no, they don't disagree, and therefore this Brisa is like Rabbi Yechanan, which says that there is a problem, not only of Nana, but Kavochayma, like Rabbi Yechanan said, of being Mahana, of benefiting to the idol. And that has to get more of a lay pligi. Is that really so that the Rabbanan do not disagree, like Rabbi Yechanan wants to say, on Reb Nosson? But Vatanya, in the Brisa, it seems to clearly show that they do disagree with the halacha of Reb Nosson. Because the Brisa says, Hoylchen li yirichal evdikacham, a person could go to the sale on the day of the idol, idolatrous holiday. Veloichen mehem behema, and someone could purchase from them animals, avodim, moshvachai, slaves, and maidservants, batim, mesadis, akramim, houses, and fields, and vineyards. More of a case if you could write documentation, umalabar koshlen, and go ahead and certify that in their courts, which are where their judges are, and bring their documents in front of them to sign, where although that's generally problematic because they're giving glory and honor to them, showing as if a Jew has to come to their courts, and then they're going to go ahead and give thanks to their deity, say, haha, even the Jews need us, still it's permitted. Because it's like saving money from them, because by going to them and having the witnesses certified in their court, that will prevent future frustration of them contesting and saying, oh, it's not really yours, and we didn't really sell it to you. So because of saving money, that's permitted for these rabbinic concerns of going to their courts and buying from them on their idolatrous holiday. Moreover, says the Braisa, even if he was a Kayin, mitame b'chutzlarts, he's allowed to go ahead and make himself rabbinically tame by going out of Eretz Yisrael, which the Rabbanan will geizu that there's a tumas on the avir of Eretz Amim, still he's allowed to, lo denu la'ar mamam, to go and litigate and deal with them to be able to save his money from the idolaters, from the non-Jews. And moreover, kashim shemitame b'chutzlarts, just like the Kayin's allowed to make himself tame to go ahead and save his money by going to chutzlarts, he's allowed to even make himself tummy by going into a cemetery. And that has to get more would you entertain to say a coin's allowed to go into a cemetery? That's a biblical tumma. I don't care how important Jewish money is, but you're not going to go ahead and violate a biblical precept for that. El Rather says the Gemara, no, it means Besa Pras Rabbanan. It means like a rabbinic cemetery, which is what's known as a Besa Pras, which is a field that was plowed over where there was a grave. That the Chacham were concerned for a distance of 100 amma, then maybe the bone was dragged by the plow and the bones are spread out through the field, and maybe a person's walking over will end up going over a bone the size of a barley corn and move it and then become tummy. So rabbinically, it's forbidden to go in such an area, but a kohen, to save his money, is allowed to go in the Beis HaPras, just like he's allowed to go ahead and even though there's rabbinic tumma in Chutzlarts, just like that, he's permitted, so to the Beis HaPras is permitted. Moreover, says the Braisa, relate halacha. Moreover, the kohen's allowed to go to be umitame lil matara. The allowed to make himself tame by going to Eretz Amim to learn Torah, and Velis Isha to go out and marry a woman. Now, on that, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Amosai, when did we say that he's allowed to go, let's say in rabbinically tame area to go learn Torah, like in Chutzlarts? That's Bezman Shein Maitzeluma, that if he doesn't find where else to learn. But if he's an Eretz Yisrael and he finds someone that he could learn by, then any time is not being mitame of the Gwadalun Tire. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael, he says, no, even though there's other teachers in Eretz Yisrael to go learn from, he's allowed to make himself tame to go to Chutzlaritz and learn. Because the person doesn't merit to learn from every single person. Even though this person might be greater, but everyone has a different tchunas and nefesh, a different kav, a different medium that would talk to him, and therefore he's allowed to go even for a different teacher out of Eretz Yisrael. Amr Pisi, he says, Maisa b'Yosef HaKoyin, there was an incident with Yosef the Koyin, Shahalach Acharabi l'Tzidin, little Mitar, that he went to Tzidin, in other words, he went out of Eretz Yisrael, which, even though it's Eretz Amen, is rabbinically mitami like a Beis HaPras, again, he went, and because it was to go out and learn Torah. And on this Braisa, V'Amr B'Yechanan, he says, Halachach Rabbi Yosef, Halach is like Rabbi Yosef. Now, from the fact that Rabbi Yechanan discusses this Braisa, obviously Rabbi Yechanan was aware of this Braisa. And what is the opening halacha of this braisa that says v'leichin men behemi, you're allowed to buy an animal from the idol worshippers on their holiday, which that disagrees with Reb Nosson, because Reb Nosson was saying one is never allowed to buy an animal. You buy an animal, you got to let it rot, so you got to uproot the foot. So you see, I'm a pligi. Obviously, we see that there are those who disagree with Reb Nosson. So how could we say that Rabbi Yechanan disagrees with Rish Lakish? because Rish Lakish was saying, oh, that's Rav Nassim, but Rabban disagree, and he's going like Rabban. And we were saying for Rabbi Yechinen, and he says, no, no one disagrees, and it is like Rav Nassim. And you see, for Rav Nassim, just like you're not allowed to have Hano, you're not allowed to be Mahana, but clearly Rabbi Yechinen knew of another Braisa that does disagree with Rav Nassim, because Rav Nassim says one is never allowed to buy an animal. There's no way you could. And here this Braisa says that you could buy the animal from them on their pagan holiday. And I don't know Rabbi Yechinen. Rabbi Yechinen tell you that no, really no one disagreed with Rav Nassim. And therefore, again, everyone agrees to what the halacha Rabbi Yechinen said was not like Rish Lakish, that one's not allowed to be mahana, give benefit to an idol. But it seems to be a contradiction. Rabbi Nassim said there's no way you could buy an animal, and the Braisa says you could buy. And that says the Gemara, no, that's v'lekash, is not a difficulty. Khan, Rabbi Nassim, who said that it's forbidden, was b'lekech min a tagger, someone you buy from a merchant, from a regular animal seller. The shakli michsim in egg, where there the pagans went and took taxes from this guy who's buying the animal, turns out that you're benefiting the idol. That everyone agrees to, and that's like Rabbi Yechinen said, not like Rish Lakish, an interpretation of our previous Mishnah. One cannot go ahead and be Mahana any store that's adorned, even with payers, because that's the sign that you're paying taxes to the idols. Khan, over here in the second Braisa, which, yeah, Rabbi Yechinen was aware of, that's saying that it's permitted, is Blekech Mibalabais. It's when you're buying from a regular guy, a regular homeowner. They don't take taxes from him. A store, the guy who sells animals, they take taxes. A regular guy, he has three animals in his backyard. You buy from him, even on the holiday. That's not a problem, again, because you're saving Jewish money. Again, although he might go ahead and give thanks, but because of the idea of matzal miyodim is permitted. But if he was a regular guy who sells animals, that would be forbidden, because that, again, would be the concern of being mahana to the akum, giving taxes, and that would be a problem. Now, the Gemara goes back to explain this teaching of Rav Nassim Amar. Rav Nassim said that behemati akar, if one purchases an animal on the day of their pagan holiday, that's forbidden because, again, either way, you pay taxes, you don't pay taxes, either benefiting from or benefiting to the idol, which is forbidden. So you have to take the animal and you got to do something, a sign to show that this is forbidden to have enough from it. What you do is you uproot the foot of the animal, which, like we said, you cut off the foot from the hock, the part of between the knee and the ankle, and below. That is the Gemara, but the Ikatzar Balachayim, how can one do this? This is for pain for a living animal, whether it be biblical or rabbinic, it's forbidden to do that. That Abaya says, Amr Rahman, the Torah says in Sefer Yeshua, that he says, that Hashem says to Yeshua, Es Suseim Tiakr, regarding the Kananim, the idol worshippers, when he conquers them, that to hamstring, to uproot the foot of the horses, we see that regarding the idols, the idol worshippers, animals, it's permitted to do that. So though generally Tzar B'chaim is forbidden, in this context, it's permitted. Moreover, Amamah, the time of the Braiser of Nassim said, Ve'izehu Iker, what is Iker? Menashe parseseo min arkubu lamata. You cut off, you break off the hoof of the foot from the knee and below, from that hock and below. And that is the Gemara. Is that really what Iker is? But Raminu, it seems to be a contradiction in the definition of Iker from a different Braisa. The Braisa says, Imagdishin, one is not allowed to make something hektish. Vemachrimin, do a cherim, which obviously the Tana of this Braisa holds, that when one says something is cherim, it goes to Bedek Abayis, because actually it's Machlekes, Mesech, it's Erchen, Avchav Chesem, Abayis, it goes to the Kanem, to the Beis Amigdash. Here, obviously, it's going on the same context of like hektish. Ve'emarichin, also someone now will make an erich vow, which is also a different type of making of monetary value an element of hektish. One's not allowed to do these types of things bizman hazeh in these days, because since there's no more beis hamikdash, so that money, what are you going to do with it? It belongs to hektish, but there's no one to take it from you and utilize it. It might come to cause a takala, because the money's just going to be laying around, and someone might go ahead and use that money and commit the biblical violation of me'ilah, misappropriation of those funds. So one's not allowed to do that. Now, v'im, hektish, v'hechem, v'herich, if let's say someone does do today he goes and he says, this is hektish, or he's machamed, or he makes an erich vow. So, if it's a behema, if that hektish item that he was machdish was an animal, so t'yakr, it's do ikur on it. Peiris, ksus, v'keilim, if let's say it's produce, or clothing, or utensils, you tint him a day, so yirkuv, he has to let it rot. Moitz, v'kli, matchis, if it's money or metal utensils, which doesn't rot. So, yilich, m'liyam, melech, you got to throw it into the Dead Sea. Now, ve'izehu ikur, and what is ikur, says the Braisa. Noel delz b'fanel, what you do is you put the animal in this room, you close the door in front of it, you don't give it what to eat, v'imesa me'ela, and it dies by itself. So you see that ikur is not ripping off the foot, it's just letting it die by itself. So that seems to contradict Rav Nassim. Amabayi says, no, shani hasam, over there, by regarding hektish, it's different. Mishum b'zoyin kachim, it's a disgrace for kachim. Because if you're going to say that you should be ma'akrit, you break off the bottom of the foot, it's not going to die so fast. and it's going to be a disgrace for a long time until it finally dies, that the animal of Hektish will be in this state. So rather, you lock it in the room, it's not so disgraceful, and it just dies. Now that is the Gemara, but if that's the reason why we don't do the real Ikron, that we just close the door, so, b'nishchat mishchat, so why don't you just go ahead and slaughter that animal? If you would think because of Shchutei Chutz, now slaughter an animal outside the Beis HaMikdash, that doesn't apply to Bedek HaBayis. When someone's makdash something, it's for the upkeep of the temple. It's only Kutch Mizbech, but you now slaughter outside. As the Brachos teach in Masechet Yomim of Samachim Beis. So just slaughter it. Why do you have to lock it in the room and wait till it dies? And that's what the Gemara knows. If you're going to slaughter that animal, Asabu L'Dei Takolim, that might cause a stomach block because then you might go and eat it. You have a good kosher piece of slaughtered animal, but the problem is it's Hektish, and you're not allowed to eat it. So that, on that, the Gemara asks, okay, but Labashavli Gistra, then cut the animal in two. So there's no more Bizoin Kachim, because it's going to die right away. And there's also no more Takala, because no one's going to eat from it, because it's then Vela. On that, Amabaye says, no, you can't do that either, because Amakrit, the Pasuk in Devarim, Venitatsimis Mizbechesim Megoyim, one should smash the altars of the idols, which says, Leisasin Kein Lashem Akechim, mean, I'll do the same to Hashem, your God. To cut the animal in two is like smashing their altar, which is a type of a smashing, which is forbidden to do to that that belongs to Hashem of Kachim, and therefore there's no other option but to close the door. But you're right, regarding our halacha, buying from the idol, ikra means to rip off the foot. It's just that regarding Kachim, we can't do that because of Bizayin. Rather, we close the door and it dies by itself. A different approach, Rav Alma, he says, the reason why we don't do this nishur, this cutting off from the hak of the foot of Kachim, which also requires ikra, is when they shenir kamatal mum b'kachim, because that looks like as if you're inflicting a wound, a blemish, on kachim, and that's problematic. One's not allowed to make a mum b'kachim. So because of that, that's why you can't break off the foot. So although generally, yeah, that's what ikur is, like Reb Nosson says, but kachim you can't because of this appearance of wrongdoing. And that is the Gemara and Rava Nira. What, it looks like you're making a blemish? What do you mean? Mum aliyu, this is a bona fide blemish. It's the problem itself, not just that it appears to be a problem. No, Hanamili, when is it that it would be considered making a full-fledged blemish, which that's a biblical prohibition of kamum lo yabai, a person not will make a blemish in a kachim, that's bismancha beis hamikdash kayim. That's only at the time when the beis hamikdash is still around. Where then you could recite the pasuk of a yikachav beis on there of tam yilrats, and it has to be unblemished to be an appeasement, to be willing, to be accepted by Hashem. Because the chazil akrava, where it's fit to be sacrificed. But now that you can't sacrifice, there's no more Beis HaMikdash, less lamba. So then there's no more problem anymore. It's only like Rava said, it appears like you're making into Baal Mum. But there's no biblical violation, because the whole biblical violation of making it in a blemish is that now you can't sacrifice it anymore. Can't sacrifice, you can't sacrifice it anyway. So if it's only rabbinic concern, the way Rava said it, and not the biblical prohibition of putting in a blemish. Tosfos Gemara asked on Rava, what Rava is saying, it's only nearer Kamat Lamum. It only looks like you're making a blemish, which sounds like it's only rabbinically prohibited. On that, as the Gemara, why isn't it biblical? Because you're saying you can't sacrifice it because no more Beis HaMikdash. On that, as the Gemara, who cares? That should be the same category of making a blemish in an already blemished animal, where the avagav b'lei chazil akrava, where even though you can't sacrifice that animal anyway because it's already blemished anyway, which this is contingent, which there's a machlekes tanoim b'chayrus of lamagimel and beis, regarding if there's a b'chayr, a firstborn animal, which has a problem with its blood getting stuck, which if one doesn't let the blood, the animal's going to die. Now, there's an opinion over there that says that it's usr, that it's forbidden to go ahead and let the blood, even if the animal is going to die. Why? Because of lo yimum, you're not going to go ahead and inflict a blemish. But anyways, you're not going to be able to sacrifice because it's going to die anyway. So if so, the question is that Rava should have said, not that because it appears like you're inflicting a blemish, because you're actually making a blemish. But we can't sacrifice it. Who cares? Just like we see by the Bechar, which is going to die anyway, and so too by a previously blemished animal is the same idea. You can't sacrifice it anyway, but still one's not allowed to go ahead and inflict a blemish in the animal, so that should be the same thing with an animal today. Although you can't sacrifice it, it doesn't make a difference. It's a bona fide kachim, and one cannot be matal mum in a kachim, even that you can't sacrifice, whether because it's a bechar that's going to die because of its blood getting stuck, or because it already has a baal mum, or like today, because there's no Beis HaMikdash. So it's still be the prohibition itself, not just because it's nearer a matal mum. And that's the Gemara, no, it's still not the same. Baal mum, a blemished animal in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, nehidu lechaz legufi, right, although you can't, it's not fit, viable for it itself to be sacrificed as a carbon, but ledmei chazi, but its monetary value is fit to be brought as a carbon, which through the process of deconsecration. and then you'll sacrifice what you're switching it on to. So essentially for this carbon, the pasuk of Tamei L'Ratzin still applies, not for it itself, but because of what you would transfer it onto. So therefore you cannot inflict the blemish on this animal itself, because even though it itself is blemish, but it's still in the category of it being considered as a carbon of Tamei L'Ratzin. Lafuki hacha, in contrast over here, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, where no animal is fit to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, where deloy ledimei chazi veloy legufi chazi, where it's not fit monetarily or physically, so therefore all it has is the appearance, but there's no biblical prohibition, because there's no leratzin, there's no tum yi leratzin, because no animal could be brought, and therefore all at most that it is, like Rav explained, would be a rabbinic problem. But again, that's the reason why ikur here, you can't break off the foot, because it's near kamatam mubakachim. It's not the general biblical matam mubakachim, but at least rabbinic, and therefore you can't do like the classic ikur, like Rav Nosson said, which is usually to break off the foot from the knee and below. Now, related to this halacha of Rav Nosson, the Gemara says, Ashkechei Rav Yoina l'Rabbi Loi. Rav Yoina encountered Rabbi Loi. The koya pischa de Tzur is by the entryway of the city of Tzur. Amalei said to him, Ketani behemati akar. We're learning this brisa of Rav Nosson that said that if someone purchases an animal on the day of the holiday of the idolaters, where we said either way you're doing something wrong and it's related to benefiting from an idol. So if it's an animal, you have to hamstring, you have to rip out the foot from the bottom. Now, Eved, however, if someone purchases a slave, according to Rav Nosson, what should he do? Should he do ikur on the slave? Should he break off the foot of the slave or not? And he explains his question. He says, look, Eved Yisrael look at me, but if you purchase a Jewish slave, obviously you wouldn't do that and inflict a wound onto a Jewish person. My question was regarding if he purchases a non-Jewish slave, what's the halacha? Is it the same as an animal? Will you do ikur or not? So Amalei said to him, what's your question? Tanya, we're learning this in the Braisa. The Braisa says, regarding idol worshippers, or even a Jew, that someone that's a shepherd of small livestock, which they were thieves, which gives them the same qualification on some level like an idol worshipper, we don't go ahead and lift them out of a pit if they fell into the pit. Rather, we leave them there and let them die because these are wicked people. But we don't push them down into the pit to actively kill them. So obviously, we see that even a non-Jewish slave, an idol-worshipping slave, you're not allowed to go ahead and actively kill him. You're not allowed to go ahead and do ikur and then break of his foot so that he dies. And obviously, you wouldn't do ikur even on the Eved Eved Kechavim. Continuing on this theme, Amalei Rabbi Yimler of Zera, Katani, we learned, according to the Rabbanon who disagree with Rav Nosson, which that was the other Braisa, we said, you could purchase from them on their pagan holidays, in the fear, animals, slaves, and maidservants. So the question is, what did we allow? Obviously, there's still some problems of buying from them on the holiday because they might go ahead and thank their deity. But we said, because of matzlo kimiyadim, it's like saving from them, we're doing something altruistic from that, so okay, you're allowed to go ahead and buy from them on the holiday. But when we said you could buy slaves from them, was it Eved Yisrael was only a Jewish slave? Similar to like the previous question, which was Rav Nosson's opinion, now in the other brayso going to Kohen Rabbanan, would that only permit the Jewish slave or even a non-Jewish slave? So Amalei said to him, Reb Zera answered, he said, Mistabra Eved Yisrael. It would be logical to say it was only permitted to buy a Jewish slave. Because the Eved Eved Kechavim, if you're buying an idolatrous slave, Lamami Bailei. What do you need it for? In other words, what mitzvah are you fulfilling that it should be permitted to buy from them on their holiday? We have to find some good excuse why we should allow this to be done. Eved Yisrael makes sense, but not Eved Eved Kechavim. However, Kiyas Rav and Amar Bishim Ben Lakish, he says, no, fill it Eved Eved Kechavim. One's allowed to purchase even a non-Jewish slave, because when one takes a non-Jewish slave, he brings him under the wings of the Divine Presence, because when he becomes a slave of a Jew, he really has to fulfill the mitzvahs as a Jewish woman, and then when he gets freed, actually like a full-fledged Jewish man. So he's already bringing him into the fold, and therefore it's permitted even to purchase on Yom Edom, on their holiday, in the fear, to purchase a slave. Now, Rav Ashi says regarding this interpretation, he says, wait a second. Atu Behema, the other thing that was mentioned today that you could purchase from them on their fear, on their holiday, was an animal. You think an animal? My machnas tachas kamveshchinik. What type of bringing under the divine presence is purchasing an animal? Ella, rather, must be the reason is mishum miutayu. It's because you're diminishing from the assets of the idol worshippers, where you're buying from them their animals, which they used to use. Now you're causing a loss to them, which is bringing the money to the Jewish people, which that's what we permit. So he says, Vachanami, therefore that's the interpretation why it would be permitted even a non-Jewish slave. It's not because you bring him into the fold, because then that wouldn't be enough of a reason to explain why you're allowed to buy their animals. Rather, because the Bemaiti Shari, because since you're diminishing from their assets, that's what's permitted, and you bring into the Jewish people, that's why it would be even the Eved Akum, not because you're bringing him Tachas Kanfei Shechina. Now the Gemara brings a story related to these halachas that Rabbi Yaakov Zavin Sandala. Rabbi Yaakov bought a sandal in the fear of the pagan holiday, where he bought a sandal from an idol worshiper. And Rabbi Yirmiyahu Zavin Pita, he bought bread. Now, Amalei Chad L'Chavri, one said to the other one, Yasma, orphan, meaning you don't have any intelligence, Avad Rabba Chachi, you think your teacher did like this to do business in the marketplace of the idolaters on the day of their holiday, which when you buy from them, they take taxes, and you're being mahan, you're benefiting the idol? And Omalei Idach, the other one said to the other one, Yasma, orphan, Avad Rabba Chachi, you think your teacher did like this, like you're doing? Now the Gemara explains, V'tavayim mi'balabai zavin. They both actually bought from regular homeowners. But v'cholchad v'chad sav, but each one also thought, Chavroi mi'tagar zavin. Oh, my friend, he bought from a regular, from a retailer, from a store owner. Where, because to buy from balabai is permitted, but from a tagar is forbidden. Therefore, each one did what he did permittedly, but he thought the other one did it forbiddenly. Like we said before, we didn't learn of this prohibition of buying from them on their holiday, only buying from the merchant, the shakli michsimine, where they're taking taxes from him. That's a problem, because then you're being mahana to the akum, and they're going to give thanks. And even barring that, you're actually, without the thanks, you're actually benefiting them, which is a problem, as Rabbi Yochanan said, if you can't be nana, which is for sure you cannot benefit them either. But if one buys from a homeowner, where they're not taking taxes, then you're not benefiting them at all. Then muta, then it's permitted again to the country. There he doesn't give thanks, because actually he becomes atzi, he gets depressed, where he's losing assets, although he gets money. But generally the one who buys is happy, the one who sells, if it's something substantial, he's the one that's sad. Now, Omer Baba Breed of Chibar Abba, he says, but Il Moleha Yerbichon Hazimne, if Yerbichon would be around at this time, Ba'asra in a place to Koshakli Mifsa Film by Bias, where he would see that they take taxes even from a regular homeowner, Hava Asr, then he would actually say it's forbidden to buy even from a Balabais. Where therefore says the Gemara, so now it's difficult, this allowance of Rabbi Yirmiyah, that he allowed them to go ahead and buy from Balabatim, Eli'inu Hechazavin. So how did they buy even from homeowners if it's already changed? Yeah, in the times of Rabbi Yechanan, then it was permitted to buy from a balabais, just not from a tagger. But today, where they take taxes even from a balabais, how did he buy a sandal? How did he buy bread even from a balabais? And that says the Gemara, no, they bought me balabais she'ein a kavua zavin. They bought from a homeowner that he doesn't even usually sell. In other words, the tax collectors for the idol, they only collect only from a merchant, or today, even from homeowners, because they know who's the guys who usually sell. But this guy is not a merchant, and he's not even the guy who usually sells in the paper, I come to my house and I sell bottles of wine. He's not even from one of those. The guy just happened to sell a piece of bread that they're not going to collect taxes even from them, and that's why they were able to buy from them, because the idea is we're going to be mahana them by giving taxes, and since there's no taxes, that was permitted. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah that's continuing on the theme, but nothing to do now anymore related to Lefnei Eidehen, regarding the holiday and the 3 days before or 3 days after, says the Mishnah, Eilu Dvarim Asurim Limkaloi V'Kachavim, these are things that it's always forbidden to sell to the idol worshippers, because they always need it for the utility of their idol, which is forbidden. And they are, it's Troiblin, Ubenoi Shuach, which I'm going to explain what these things are, Uftei Taurus and Stems, Ulevayna and Frankincense, Betarnagel Haloven and a white rooster. Now, regarding that last halacha, Behuda Imi says, Mutta Limkele Tarnagel Loven, it's permitted to sell to the idolater a white rooster, Bein HaTarnagelin, if it's amongst other types of roosters. In other words, if the idol worshiper is purchasing from the Israel in bulk many roosters, then the Jew is allowed to include in that purchase also a white rooster, because since he's buying many other roosters with it, it's obvious he's not buying it just for the utility of the idol, which was specific for the white rooster. Now, ubismanchu b'fnei atzma, but if he's selling the white rooster straight, just that one item, then kateya esetz boy umaychule, then he has to first break off a finger of the rooster and then sell it to him. Because it's not going to be used for the idol, because they don't sacrifice an animal that's missing a limb for their idol. Now, ushar kol dvarim, regarding all other items that one's selling to an oibik kachavim, stamim mutter, unspecified, you're allowed to sell him whatever item he's buying for. Upirushin, but if it's specific, which the Gemara is going to explain what that means, then also then it's forbidden to sell him that item. Now, Remeir, I mean, he says, afdek al tav, also a good palm tree, v'chatzav, and v'niklos, which the Gemara is going to explain what these items are, also limkul evi kechavim, it's forbidden to sell these items to an idol worshiper.